So let's open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, God is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. We thank God for that reading from his words. Been reflecting since the beginning of the year in this very simple introduction to Jesus. And principally, I've been looking at different episodes from the beginning of Jesus' life that set up for us who he was and how we might respond to him. But today, I'm turning all the way to 1 John, almost at the end of our Bibles, and that earlier reading from John's Gospel, chapter 13, to pick up on something that was at the heart of the life of Jesus. And it is this command: let us love one another, for love comes from God. Let us love one another. If we would belong to God, if we would follow after Jesus, then love must be at the heart of who we are, all that we do, and everything that we say. I first gave my life to Jesus. I first became a Christian. I say first because I feel like in my life I've become a Christian several times. You know, I've kind of started and stopped and started and stuttered and all the rest of it. So the first time was when I was 12. How many years ago was that? Quick. You should better work it out. 28 years ago. 38. Oh my goodness. Okay, that's a long time ago. I was just hoping I was only 40. No. That's a long time ago. And, you know, this, of course, when I first became a Christian, I remember somebody saying to me, a really good tip for you is to read the Bible every day. Not the Bible, the whole Bible every day, but to read a bit of the Bible every day. And I might have said before that one of the habits I got into really out of desperation, because I would read the Bible either at the beginning of the day when I was tired and supposed to be getting up, or I would read it at the end of the day when I was tired. And, you know, I was a young lad, you know, and the habit I developed was I would just set myself, I would read a paragraph or a particular section. And I would read it once, and then I'd read it again. Just like we've read that passage this morning. And I would perhaps read it a third time, and all I was waiting for was a sense of, I just want one word or one phrase or a sentence that I can carry with me today or tomorrow. And when I had that sense of, I need to note that, it's a word of encouragement, it's a word of challenge, it's something I didn't know before, I would underline it. Have you got those kind of Bibles with lots of underlinings? I've still got that Bible at home. And I used to underline lots of different bits of it. And 1 John, I think I picked 1 John because it's quite short. And it was good to read. And it speaks a lot about God's love. But I tell you this, the more I have walked on my journey of seeking to follow after Jesus, the harder it is to love. The harder it is to love. And that's because I've understood love, I think, more and more and more. I found it harder and harder to love because I've understood what love is. And yet the explicit command of Jesus is, let us love one another. Love one another. Now, of course, we need to begin with Jesus. The key motive to the life of Jesus. What was he about? He was about love. I was having a conversation with some folk this week. The question was asked, what is the one essential doctrine or dogma or belief that sums up and is absolutely necessary for Christianity to be Christianity? What is the key doctrine or dogma? And there are all sorts of things being thrown around, using long words that most people don't understand. And I chimed in. I think the answer is love. I think the answer is love. And of course, I got lots of abuse for this because it wasn't complicated enough or it wasn't clever enough or something. And I said, no, I think it's love. Because the one thing that marked the life of Jesus was love. And you can look at his life and you look at his death and what you see is love. That commitment, that deep, passionate commitment to love. You can see in the life of Jesus forgiveness and healing and compassion and mercy and kindness and generosity. And we can give so many examples within the life of Jesus of how he didn't just speak about love, but he lived out love. You'll remember the story, I'm sure, of the man who was brought to Jesus to be healed. He was a cripple. He was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. He had to be brought by his friends. When they got to the house where Jesus was, you remember how the house was so jam-packed full of people. People were crowded in the house, crowding, looking in the windows, the doorway. They couldn't get in to get their friend to Jesus, whom they were carrying. So they nip up the stairs onto the roof of the house, begin tearing the roof up. And then when they had a hole big enough in the roof, we'd never find out what the house owner felt about this, but when they've got a hole big enough, they lower the man into the middle of the room at the feet of Jesus. And the first thing that Jesus does, it actually says, when Jesus saw their faith and the trust and the deep belief of the friends, he says to the man who's paralyzed, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Because everybody's expecting he's going to heal him. Can I get up and walk? The first thing he does, your sins are forgiven. To forgive is a very powerful sign of love. To forgive. But of course, Jesus also healed those occasions when Jesus, we are told, met somebody with leprosy or was blind or was crippled. And we're told that Jesus was moved deeply with compassion for that person and healed them. Those who said to Jesus, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus said, of course I'm willing. Of course I'm willing. And reached out And he touched people. People nobody else would touch. He touched them as a demonstration of his love. And we can see it time and time again in the life of Jesus. It was about love, not just speaking about it, but living it, acting it out. And Bob gave the illustration earlier about those workers who've gone to Africa to help those with suffering from Ebola. And you think, what depth of love and compassion and kindness would cause them to do something so ridiculous and outrageous, putting their life at risk. But what I've heard, certainly those who've returned to the United States having caught Ebola, they're all Christians, motivated by love, just as Jesus was motivated by love. And in death as well. You see, Jesus didn't just love in a way of turning it on and off when it was convenient. I'll love now, but I won't now. Jesus had love, I guess, just bubbling up somehow within in him, but he'd also committed to love. He chose, this is how I'm going to live. I choose to love. And so when he was being crucified, when they nailed him to the cross and he was abandoned, normally when somebody was crucified, they'd just be left on the cross for days on end as they died. And once they died, normally the body would stay on the cross and the birds, the vultures, would gather and eat the body. It was a horrific way to die. And Jesus would have known, as he was crucified, it could have been that he was going to stay there, that his body would be mutilated. And yet he still chose to love those who had done such horrific things to him. And unjustly, we have the very powerful and moving example of forgiveness. When Jesus is on the cross, when he's gasping for breath, close to death, he cries out to God, Father, as he looks down at the soldiers who've crucified him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them. You see, Jesus, in life, he loved, 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 loved. He forgave. He healed. He had compassion. He did whatever he could to demonstrate love, because that's what he'd chosen to do. And in death, I think very movingly and powerfully, even then, he forgave. But love is not just seen in the life and death of Jesus. It's also seen in the resurrection. After Jesus had died on the Friday, he was laid in a tomb. Friends came and got him down from the cross and took him into an empty and put his body into an empty tomb, rolling a stone across the tomb. Why did they roll the stone across the tomb? It wasn't to stop the dead getting out. It was to stop animals getting in. And they buried Jesus behind that big stone. And he was dead. Jesus was absolutely dead. There was nothing that Jesus had left. He'd lived this extraordinary life of love and kindness. And yet he'd ended up just like everybody else ends up, dead. That's something I can't avoid, and you can't avoid. And I haven't lived as good a life as Jesus lived, and he died, and he was dead, and I'm going to end up dead. But God, whose love never, ever fails, whose love never ends, reached into that tomb and did something extraordinary. He said, you're my son. I love you. I'm pleased with you. And raised Jesus from the dead. And that great power that God exhibited in those moments when he raised Jesus from the dead, that great power was the power of love. And we see this love in the life of Jesus, in the death of Jesus, and in the act of resurrection. Love is at the heart of everything that Christianity is. It's at the heart of everything that it means to be a Christian, to be a follower of Jesus. It's not about doctrine or dogma. It's not about what we believe. It is about who we are and the way we live. It is about love. And yes, there are lots of really good things that we learn about who Jesus is, about what he did. What we believe, of course, is important because we want, you know, love is committed to truth. So we want to know that which is true. But that's not the deciding thing. The deciding thing is love. Earlier in the service, I read from John's Gospel, chapter 13, where Jesus showed, we're told, showed his disciples the full extent of his love. Here he was, their Lord and their Master. They served him. They followed him. They listened to him. They were there to learn from him. And yet, to show them the full extent of his love, he took off his outer garments and got down on his knees and washed their smelly feet. And he went round each one of them washing their feet in the most humble act of servanthood. And then he said, what you've seen me do, you are to do to one another. And if we are to understand who Jesus is, and if we're to understand what it means to follow Jesus, then it's not just about understanding. The life of Jesus is about love. The death of Jesus is about love. The resurrection is about love. It's also taking heed of the words of Jesus. When later in John's Gospel, John chapter 13, Jesus said this, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. And so Jesus, in a sense, set his disciples up and said, okay, world, if you want to know who belongs to me, who belongs to Jesus, don't take issue with what they say they believe. Just observe them. Do they love? Do they love one another? Do they love you? Because those who love, you will see, they are my disciples. They've caught it. They've understood what it's all about. And I think in that moment, Jesus, as I said, I think he set it disciples up. And he invited the world, come and have a look. Come and see for yourself. See who truly belongs to me. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Some practical things. What does that mean? What does it mean for us? First thing, I think, is a very powerful thing about love. Attentive listening. Attentive listening. It's a difficult thing to do. But a deep sign of love is that we listen. And we listen well. And that's paying attention. To love is to pay attention. You know what it is? Normally when we have a conversation, and probably even now, your mind goes off in a... Do you know that feeling? Mind goes off in a gazillion other directions. When we love and demonstrate that love, we listen absolutely to what is being said. And we leave those journeys of the imagination to another time, and we focus. Attentive listening, listening to one another. And you have to be patient to do that. Sometimes very patient to do that. But it's a powerful, very practical sign of love. Second, I note down, practicing generosity. And what I mean by this, it's not practicing generosity as in Oh, here's some money. Now, can I have that back? Because I want to practice again. You know, I want to find out how, you know, it's not doing that. It's the regular doing of it. How do you get good at playing a musical instrument? You have to practice. You have to do it again and again and again and again. And it becomes more normal. So we practice it. And so we choose to be generous. Generosity will require sacrifice. Otherwise, it's not generosity. It's giving that which we could keep for ourselves, whether that's time or money or possessions or attention. We could keep it for ourselves, but we choose not to. We choose because we know that love is seen in generosity. And it's a practical way of demonstrating love, is to be generous and say, do you know what, I don't have to do this. I can keep this money or this time or attention to myself. I choose to. And of course, love, you can't force love out of anybody. It has to be freely given. Third thing is choosing to forgive. Choosing to forgive. Again, nobody can force you to forgive. But we choose to forgive where things have been done, where words have been spoken. Again, I was reminded this week, I was listening to a lady from Harnhill Centre for Healing. Is that the right? No? Down in Gloucestershire somewhere, Harnhill. And she was talking about that saying that I've mentioned, I know, before myself, sticks and stones may hurt by my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, and I've always thought, what a load of nonsense. Yeah, I was taught that as a kid. You know, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I think, no, the scars I bear are because of things people said. Stupid things they should never have said. And I need to forgive. You know, I have. Often I've chosen to forgive and let go because I don't want to be scarred with what somebody else says. But it's a choice. We choose to forgive. We choose to forgive. And sometimes, and it's what the lady from Harnhill was saying, sometimes when people are quiet, they struggle with being quiet because when they're quiet, they find all sorts of hurts and anger stirring up. And we don't like it, so stop being quiet. You know, that's a dangerous thing to do. But that's why we are quiet, so that we might forgive and let go. It's again, it's a practical thing, attentive listening, practicing generosity, choosing to forgive. And fourthly, practicing reconciliation. Practicing reconciliation. Forgiveness is one thing. A lot of forgiveness is just about us and saying, I don't want to live with the cancer that is unforgiveness. I choose to forgive. But then there's another step, which is reconciliation. How can I be reconciled? Can I be reconciled to this person? Maybe I need the help of somebody else, of their wisdom. Can I be reconciled? Can we be brought back together? Maybe things will never be completely as it was once. But can I be reconciled? And if we're thinking about reconciliation, there is love that motivates reconciliation. But then there has to be truth. There has to be an acknowledgement. This is how things are. Can't be true reconciliation unless we acknowledge what is true. There has to be mercy. There has to be mercy, that is, deep kindness and forgiveness. There has to be justice, that isn't revenge. That is, how can we put stuff back together in the way that it should be back together? How can we put stuff back together? Stuff that has been blown apart. And then there is peace. And that's when you know you've got reconciliation, is when there's peace between you. And this is my encouragement this morning. A new commandment Jesus gave us. Love one another. It's one thing to believe that we see it in Jesus, in his life and his death and his resurrection. It's another thing to say, okay, we choose to love. Perhaps by these four things, attentive listening, practicing generosity, choosing to forgive, and practicing reconciliation. May God, in his love and kindness towards us, encourage and inspire us to love one another. Let's pray together. And just in a moment of quietness, I encourage you, I'm guessing that for a number of us, even as I've spoken, you've been alerted in your mind to something you need to do. Whether it is an act of generosity or forgiveness or some act of reconciliation. And I encourage you to hold on to that which you've been reminded of. It may be that you'll be helped coming for prayer after the service. But let us choose to love and work out what that practically means. Gracious Father, we thank you for the immensity of your love. And we thank you for all that we see in the life of Jesus and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus of love. And we pray that you would help us not simply to love, but to choose to love. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.